One of my favorite websites of the last decade is thesmokinggun.com. The place to go whenever a celebrity gets in trouble, they somehow get their hands on the court documents or whatever it is. And once again today, they are right on top of it. On their website today, they've got the Wesley Snipes document. Andrew Goldberg is one of the editors from The Smoking Gun. He and his colleagues put together a book looking back at this decade of investigative reporting. It's called The Dog Dialed 911. Andrew, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Great to talk to you again.
Nice to have you. So let's talk about Wesley Snipes. You got his what is this? Is it his booking information? What do you have today?
Insanity. I mean, you know, really, at the end of the day, this is insanity. This is an indictment that was filed in Florida against the guy. They've been working on this case for a long time. He, at some point, decided that he didn't have to pay income tax on any money that he had earned in this country. And this is a guy who earns millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just that. He went and filed amended tax returns. So he had paid taxes. Then he went back and he said, well, I'm going to file amended returns. And then, you know, where you sign your name, like you can look at one of his the returns that surfaced in 02 from the 90s. He wrote, you know, and maybe his own handwriting, maybe some, under no penalty of perjury, where he signed his name. And he was looking for $12 million back from the government on taxes he had paid. I don't, you know, how does that not raise a red flag? You know, you worry about declaring maybe the newspapers you buy on the weekend is working.
That's right. I want $12 million back.
Yeah, by the way, you owe me $12 million. You know, somebody's going to look pretty darn closely at that, I would assume.
Do you guys, when you wake up in the morning, see, every day when I wake up, I just say a quick little prayer. Please let someone do something stupid today so I can have a show. Is that pretty much the concept?
I just count on it. It's going to happen. I pray for other things.
But that is the concept behind The Smoking Gun.
I pray that the stupid thing happens in a place where the mugshot's going to be readily available.
And you guys get your hands on some mugshots. In fact, on the back page of the book, there is what I think may be one of your all-time greatest ones, a guy with gold paint on his face. Explain that one.
That's a guy named Patrick Tribbett, and he's been arrested a number of times, but he's a guy who likes to sniff paint. And in Ohio, where he was arrested, they actually took the mugshot without letting him clean up afterwards, and he had been sniffing gold spray paint. Now, he had been arrested since then, but every time they've let him clean himself off afterwards before taking his mugshot, which is probably the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to do a lineup of people with gold paint on their face when you use the mugshot,
right,
you know, to ID somebody. But this is one of the great mugshots of all time. I mean, it's color, it's, you know, big and sharp, and really we've, you know, plastered him on the back of the book. You can take a look at the dangers of sniffing paint, among other things.
And you have lots of other mugshots in here, including 25 women pinched by police who were all, I guess, strippers?
Yeah, they're all strippers down in Florida and in the Tampa area. And basically, the police like to do these occasional raids where they'll go in and pose as undercovers. And to differing degrees, police go only so far. But in Florida, these are women that they just sort of line up against the wall and go click, click, click. So when the lights come on in some of these strip joints, these are the women. You know, you want to know who's working in different places.
You know, I actually think that some of these would be good advertisements for some of these strip clubs.
Well, it's funny because, you know, over the time, we did this book of lists because we were thinking, well, there's some commonality among documents over a period of time. A lot more people run into problems in strip clubs than you'd think, you know, and end up suing other people, suing strip clubs, like guys who had strippers, you know, cannonball down on them from the strip pole and injure them, you know, at their bachelor party. Or, I mean, some of the stuff, look, you can't really talk about on the radio. That's why we have the internet and books.
But, absolutely.
You know, it piles on when you look at the book. You know, we sort of list it all out and do tears from the document.
There is quite a bit of stuff in here that comes from Florida. And, you know, I do this thing on my show every day, Knuckleheads in the News. Some of them are kind of similar stories to the ones you guys eventually get the documents and pictures from. But we do it every day. And I have to say, in all the years I've been doing Knuckleheads in the News, Florida has contributed more than any other state in the country.
Yeah, Florida really represents in the book. I don't know if we broke it down by state, that would probably be the biggest chapter. I mean, we've got people who have offered to sell drugs to police officers sitting in marked cars in full uniform. There's a great two-page spread in the book. It's a color one of this Deputy Muncie in Florida. He's a sheriff there. And you know the cameras on the front of the police cars that they, you know, sort of record when they stop you for drunk driving?
Yeah.
He was using his to cruise the beaches and do close-ups of women in bikinis. And
yeah, I remember that one.
He ended up getting suspended, but we took the police's internal report where they described the tapes and then matched it up with images from the actual video in the book. So you can go, A, you know, is what the police described, and A is the image they're talking about with the timestamp.
I'm looking at it right here, pages 88 and 89. Classic stuff. Andrew, let me take a quick break. We'll come back and talk some more about the Smoking Guns book, The Dog Dialed 911.
You're the one who's guilty. Lawmakers, the politicians, the Colombian drug lords, all you who lobby against making drugs legal, just like you did with alcohol during the Prohibition.
That is Wesley Snipes making the argument for legalizing drugs from New Jack City. I guess if he can beat this rap, he can do one about legalizing tax fraud. Andrew Goldberg from thesmokinggun.com is here on the Paul Harris Show. The new compilation they put together from their first decade in business, first of many, I'm sure, is called The Dog Dialed 911, a decade of the world's most dogged investigative reporting. Do you end up with a lot of stories like that about animals having dialed 911 for their owners?
Well, this is actually a true story, the story that the book is, the title of the book is based on. It's a dog who actually stepped on the cell phone of his owner. They were in the front of a truck going hunting over Thanksgiving a few years ago in Ohio, of all places, and the phone dialed 911. The police thought, and you can come to the site and listen to the 911 call. You know, because of what it is, it's a dog whimpering, but 911 operator takes it seriously, traces the call, ends up showing up at the house, and going in and discovering 150 marijuana plants in the basement of the house growing there.
Yeah.
And we do it as a list one dog who is a rat, actually.
Yeah.
and the type of dog, it was a pointer of all things. I swear to you, I'm not making that up.
The book is a book of lists, and one of them is 9 Reasons Your California Alternative High School Diploma Might Be Worthless.
Yeah. This was a group out in California. They were doing sort of the equivalent of, like, GREs, you know, if you don't go straight through school, you can take the test. And some of these things, like death of a traveling salesman, it would ask you questions about.
Death of a traveling salesman. This was the workbook that kids could use to study to get their GREs, including what are the 4 branches of our government? Administrative, executive, legislative, and judicial. And I'm sorry, that will not help you pass any test in this country.
And if you're sitting there right now going, I knew all 4 of those. You might have a different sort of, you might want to check out the other question.
Well, my favorite is question 48. Is the earth flat or round?
Oh. I mean, you can't make up documents like that. It was sort of fun to, you know, with all the work it was to put the book together, it was actually a lot of fun to go read through the documents again, which I haven't looked at some of them in years.
Yeah. Now, one of the things the Smoking Gun is famous for, and you and I have talked about on the show a couple of times through the years, is concert riders. These are performers or bands who have made demands for backstage. And it's interesting because you put in here a Beatles rider from 1960-something, and all they basically wanted was a trailer that was air-conditioned.
Yeah, and a cot maybe, and just, you know, a place to relax. These are the Beatles, you know, whoever heard of them, right? In 1965, they were the biggest thing in the world.
Yes.
And we decided just to sort of, you know, put that up against what somebody like Jennifer Lopez wants when she actually performs, which she never performs. I mean, have you ever heard of her performing live anywhere?
Not in the last few years.
And hers goes on, actually, we just run one page, but it goes on for a couple of pages. And this was actually for like a 40-minute appearance where she was only someplace for less than an hour. And it goes on a white room, white flowers, tables, drapes, a huge trailer. But the Beatles, they could live with just a little less.
Yeah, and you also have one in here called 7 Bottles That Make Cheryl Crow.
Yeah.
And what it has in here is every day of the week, depending on what day she's appearing, her dressing room has to have, on Monday, a bottle of Maker's Mark bourbon. On Tuesday, a bottle of Bombay gin and a large bottle of Schweppes tonic. On Wednesday, a bottle of Courvoisier. On Thursday, a bottle of good quality champagne. A different bottle of booze every day of the week.
See, the calendar is so overrated to keep track of what day it is.
What's today? It's bourbon.
And that was the first time we'd seen it. We actually just posted a rider a week ago from a band called The Killers. And they actually also do the same thing, although not as, they don't break it down each and every day. They sort of repeat certain days of the week. But before Sheryl Crow, we had never seen any band say, Monday, that's my bourbon day, you know?
Yeah. There's great stuff in here, some of which, as you mentioned, we can't do on the air, like the magazines that the Department of Defense won't let our soldiers have. they have such adult titles that we can't put them on the radio here. There are also things in here like 31 Reasons Why It's Hard Out There for a Pimp.
That's something that was never on the site before. And, you know, that's also from our favorite place, Florida. And it was a guy who was arrested for, he was a pimp, and he actually kept very detailed records where he would describe certain details about each client. And these are 31 different clients and how he describes each one.
There is some great stuff in here. There's a picture of, I love this one, J. Edgar Hoover, who was then the king of the FBI. Not just the head of the FBI. He was the king of the FBI. And standing next to him, two football players. Who are they, Andrew?
Yeah, that's O.J. Simpson and Larry Zonka. She's sandwiched between.
Just
and he was receiving some sort of award from them. They were college football players at the time. Just one of these surreal moments, you know, where you look and you say, God, that's J. Edgar Hoover between these two guys.
Although, since we know a little bit more about J. Edgar Hoover now, the caption you gave this, two running backs and one receiver, has a very different meaning. For our friends in Florissant, you've got 15 uniform rules for Hooters girls and DVDs you won't find in Canada and all sorts of stuff in here that just is terrific, and it is out now. And I'm guessing that because the volume of stuff that you put on the site is so huge, you're already thinking about the dog dialed 912.
Well, maybe 411 or 311 would help, actually, if we decide to ever do another one again. I mean, this took, you know, this was, we had done a book years ago, and we knew we were going to do a second one. And as soon as we finish this, this is fun to look at, and it's great to look at on our shelves right now.
Yep.
I don't know when we'll be doing another one.
Have you ever had somebody who sees that you got their documents? Like, for instance, you've got emails from Michael Brown, the former head of FEMA.
Right.
Heck of a job, Brownie. You've got emails from him, and you've got other stuff in here that obviously are not documents that anybody wants out. Now, if it's a mugshot or a lawsuit or a police document, okay, people can understand that being public. But when some of this other stuff gets out, have you guys gotten sued?
Well, we've only been sued once. I mean, it had nothing to do with documents. It was actually by somebody who was on a reality TV show, of all things, in the world. And I'm not too worried about that lawsuit. In fact, as far as I know, it may not even be going on anymore. Nobody's contacted me. But those are, you know, like Michael Brown. He's a federal employee. He's using government resources to send these silly emails that we publish on here. So he is aware that that is subject to FOIA.
Yeah.
That's subject to open records. So, you know, he shouldn't be so shocked. We do hear from people occasionally, especially people whose relatives' mugshots end up on the site. We might hear and say, can you take grandpa's mugshot down? Can you take grandma's mugshot down? That's me. But on the other hand, we also hear from people go, you think that mugshot is good? You should see the one that was taken of me a couple of years ago.
Wait, people are sending in their own mugshots to
you?
Yeah,
occasionally we get that. And more than not, the most popular email we get at the site, somebody writing in and saying, by the way, I was arrested, and then sometimes they'll tell us what it was for, not always. How can I find my own mugshot? Can you direct me? I called the police, and they won't give it to me. Can you get it for me?
And have you been able to help them?
I write them back, and I tell them the process to go through. I tell them they may or may not be able to get it, but I respond to all those emails. But you'd be surprised, you know, at how many people want to see how they look the moment they were arrested.
That's classic. Well, that's what the Freedom of Information is Act for, pure vanity. Great stuff, Andrew, as always. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks. It was great talking with you.
Andrew Goldberg, one of the editors of thesmokinggun.com. The book is called The Dog Dialed 911, and of course, there's a link to it right now on my website, harrisonline.com. This is News Talk 1120 KMOX.